Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to what I believe to be episode 81.
81.
Of the M Squared TechCast.
This gets better and better.
Yes, it does. We have been at this quite a while now, and nevertheless, we persisted. So how about that?
We're still on the air. I'm not sure how that worked out. But
yeah, on the electrons or something.
Yeah. Something, yeah. So we have a full studio as I look around. I wish we had that
full
video.
Show.
We kept talking about bringing in a Jessica cam. We should do that so they can look at Jessica and also how full the studio is, right?
Yep. Sometimes it's only full of us, which is full of something else entirely.
Yes, entirely. So we have with us today, once again, Irene Spanos from Tech 248.
That fine Oakland County organization.
Say hello, Irene.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And as is her way, she has brought in a Tech 248 member. Mm-hmm. And we actually pre-interviewed him. We were screening him here to find out all about him. But I'll let you take it from here. Run with it, Irene.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Absolutely. I'm here, very proud to have one of our Tech 248 companies. The point of Tech 248 is to brand the area of the cool technology companies that we have here. So I'm very proud to have Mr. Martin Rawls Meehan from Reverie. Welcome today.
Thank you, Irene. Thank you for having me.
And tell me a little bit about your company. What does Reverie do?
Well, Reverie is a sleep technology company, and we think that sleep is really important. Getting a good night's sleep is crucial to people's overall health and well-being, and we focus on helping people sleep better to live better.
So are you just a mattress company?
No. So great question, actually. Sleep technology is our focus, and our core product line is what we call the Reverie sleep system, mm-hmm. and that involves a power base, which is a foundation that goes under the mattress and adjusts head, foot, has massage, Bluetooth control, so you can use your smartphone to control it. We're working on Internet of Things applications, so you can say, Alexa, head of my bed, move up to this position, whatever it might be, right? So cool stuff like that. And then we have a customizable mattress, with the idea being that no two people are really alike. And just like, there are different size suits, on the rack and different size shoes, beds really aren't one size fits all either. So we have our Dream Cell technology that has these different sort of softnesses and firmnesses within these Dream Cells, and we have a couple hundred of them in every bed. And we take your measurements, kind of like you would at a tailor, and the algorithm that we've designed tells us what the right pattern and orientation is, and we customize it for you. And then when you get it, you can further customize it. So if you have a life event, or for example, in the case of my wife, when she was going through pregnancy with both of our daughters, we actually would change the bed around, so it was much easier for her to sleep. So
cool.
Really cool stuff. Fully customizable. You spend a third of your life in bed, or you should. Some of us are sleep deprived.
Maybe
we don't have that much. And we think it's really important for people to sleep well, and that's what we're all about.
So is this patented technology you have?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're up to like 70-some patents overall on all of our tech.
Very cool. And how many employees do you have?
Close to 200 now.
And you're located where?
Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and in Buffalo, New York. We have two offices.
That was a trick question because I've been to your facility in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Let me tell you, that space is pretty cool space. Talk about, a place where millennials want to work. That's a place where I want to work.
Yeah.
You have the mattresses in front,
everybody goes and they just kind of relax, turn the massage on, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But then you see the creativity, the engineering, the collaboration and the different pods of that organization.
Yeah,
it's a happening place.
Absolutely.
Plus, you have great coffee there, too, which is...
Hey, can I leap in for a second? I was thinking of a question while you were talking.
Sure.
So, does it matter whether you sleep on your back, on your side, however? Does that make a difference?
No, not really. I think what's most important is... I mean, spinal alignment does matter, right? Mm-hmm. But usually what happens is your body is going to find sort of the best position for you. You kind of get accustomed to something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you get fitted for a bed, it may turn out, right, that you end up sleeping in one position more than another that you didn't expect,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think more important than anything else is us sort of learning how you sleep, what works for you, and then trying to tailor a solution that gets your spine in the right alignment and makes you as comfortable as possible.
Hmm. So when you want to change the bed, how is the bed changed? How do you do that? that? Is it, are the individual cells electronically controlled or something? Or?
No. So we go a little bit old school. You know, we've talked about it, and it's funny. You know, we've even designed some technology where you kind of press a button and it does some things. The thing is, you know, you start putting that in a mattress, right? And then you have to worry about things like batteries and power and all of that can be a little bit complicated. So we kind of keep all the power and the tech in the base underneath. And the mattress, we just use phenomenal natural materials. And we actually have a concierge service that we offer. We just rolled it out where in the first year, if you want, you know, your dream cells changed around, we send somebody out to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll do that. It really only takes a couple minutes, but you know, that can sometimes folks say, I don't know how to do it. Somebody comes out and they take care of it for you. And then afterwards, you know, we'll still come out for a small fee and we'll take care of it for you.
Hmm. That's great. Good.
So you have a location in New York, you have this location here in Michigan.
Yep.
What are some of the things you've seen being, you know, having two locations about Michigan that really wanted you to grow here and be located here?
Well, you know, I think a couple things are phenomenal about Michigan, particularly southeastern Michigan and Oakland County. And that is, number one, you know, there's just such a wealth of talent here coming out of some great engineering schools, whether it's U of M. You know, you've got Lawrence Tech as well, and we've done programs with both of them.
Thank you very much.
He's at Lawrence Tech.
They're giving everyone shout-outs here. But in truth, I mean, we've done projects with both universities, some great folks, and I think every project we've done has resulted in us hiring some engineers from that university in some capacity, right? So, you know, that's been huge. I think the supply chain is something we're also starting to tap into here. You have a lot of companies that do phenomenal work with the automotive industries and the automotive industry, excuse me. And that, you know, I think supply chain is there and sophisticated, and they're looking to branch out a little bit more. And companies like ours that are starting to achieve some volumes that are interesting to those folks, you know, are becoming attractive. So,
you know, I just got a crazy idea. Back in the 60s, they used to have the custom vans where you could sleep in the back well before your time. Remember those, Matt?
Oh, sure,
you?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking we could go back to that, and you could have your bed in the back of this custom van that people ride around in. What do you think?
We
could sell this to GM, I'm thinking.
I'll tell you what. It's funny, but the RV market, we have a customer that will they take our product and they retrofit it, customize it even further for the RVs because there's so many different dimensions in there. So. Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm with you. Let's go talk to GM.
All right. Mary All right, Bear, so, I know you're listening, right?
So who's actually the inventor of this technology? Was that you or?
Well, I mean, when it started out, I was doing a lot of that because it was, you know, just me sitting in a room. And then it obviously has branched out, and I've hired people a lot smarter than me coming from U of M and other places. MIT is another, you know, big place we recruit from. And, you know, the kids coming out of school today are just phenomenal. And, you know, my industry experience helps me a little bit, and I can guide and mentor, but love the fact that we're able to bring on some really, really talented folks, and they're taking the company and the inventions to heights that I would never be able to take it to.
And you come from a family of mattress makers, right?
No.
I'm going to get that backstory out of you.
Yeah, you're trying to pull it out,
yeah.
Right? No, not at all. You know, I think the short story about how I came to be in this industry is really one of looking around the world and looking at some different spaces and realizing that this is an industry that hadn't really changed much in 100 years.
Yeah.
You know, go find a picture of a mattress from 1925 and compare it to what you see in the store, and really not that much difference, right? Now look at a picture of a car. Look at, you know, what were people using for communication, right? All these things. It's changed so much. There's all this great technology that exists in the world today that hadn't really penetrated our industry. And I was, you know, I think 15 years ago, roughly when the company was founded, I was kind of like today's millennial, right? The young millennial. I was into all the technology. And I'm thinking, man, like, why can't we just bring some of this tech over? So tons of opportunity. And that's really why I came here.
Well, Bezos started that way. He was just a book distributor. That's Amazon, because picked the name because it was a wide breadth. I mean, I heard the backstory.
Yeah.
I actually interviewed him way early. I lived in Seattle at one time.
Cool.
I went to the original warehouse. It was just a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, now they're into everything.
Yeah.
But amazing. But, yeah, just he just picked that because it seemed like an easy thing to distribute over the internet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny how the most to me, I mean, and obviously Amazon's story is phenomenal. Definitely not comparing Reverie's story to Amazon's yet, right? But, you know, it's interesting to hear. I think every entrepreneur I've ever talked to has a backstory that you wouldn't expect,
yeah.
Right? So
what are the plans for the future? Where do you see some growth opportunities?
Oh, gosh. Growth is everywhere. So our biggest challenge today is really just dealing with the growth and trying to figure out how we continue to bring on, you know, the best talent and really the right talent, right? I mean, there's the right people, right seats mentality. And sometimes you get great people, but they're not the right fit. And sometimes you don't have the right seats for those people, right? So, you know, that's always a challenge as you grow because you're trying to say, okay, how do I support this growth? And, you know, sometimes you want to rush to bring folks on and, you know, we've made our mistakes in the past. And I think our biggest challenge is just continuing to get the right people in the right seats.
That's great.
So do you currently have openings? This is a question I always ask people when they're around here.
Yeah, we've got an opening on our podcast team right now. No, in all seriousness, actually, we have a ton. And if you go on our website, I think there's like a career opportunities on page, and you can learn about the opportunities at Reverie. But yes, we have several open positions, and we're looking for great people who, you know, like a chaotic work environment and are looking to do something a little bit different.
Now you have to give out the website address.
There you go, www.reverie.com. So that's R-E-V-E-R-I-E.
Yeah, I was going to say spell that because they might not know how to spell
that. Yep.
So I'm curious about the technology. What are the dream cells actually made out of?
So we've got two different materials. We have a particular type of urethane-based foam that we make them out of. But the more common sort of high-end material that we use is a natural foam rubber.
Hmm. Okay.
Very cool. Well, we're happy you're part of our Tech 248 community. We're happy you're part of the tech scene here in Southeast Michigan. We're very proud of you and the work that you do. And your company is the kind of company that, you know, we love to feature because a lot of our young people, as they graduate college, they're looking to the coast to go find careers. And we want to make sure they know about the opportunities that are here in their own backyard.
Stay in Michigan.
Absolutely.
No reason to go to the coast.
Now, have you had a Tech 248 at his facility?
Not yet. But it's on our to-do list.
All right.
Definitely. Definitely on our to-do list.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. And, you know, it means a lot to be on the show and a part of what you all are doing here in Oakland County. So it's fantastic. Thank you.
Great. Anything else you want to add about, you know, growth opportunities throughout the United States? Are you looking at other states to grow in or primarily focusing here on Michigan?
Yeah, we have expanded into other states, primarily sales opportunities. But, you know, I would say the big thing, you know, I'd like to make anyone who's interested in coming to Reverie, to work at Reverie, you know, we believe that, you know, the people make the culture, right? Mm-hmm. The right people make the culture. So you talked about our office and, we do have a fun
Very
office,
cool.
right? But really, you know, that only works because we have the right people. And I think that, you know, that's really important. We care about the people. We think the people make up who we are. It is our DNA, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, we try and build a nice office environment and create all these little sort of, you know, fun things on the side to foster that. But really, it's ultimately about the people that we bring on. So if you're somebody who's looking for something different, fairly chaotic, maybe slightly slightly less 9-to-5 type of work opportunity, that's what we're all about. And I think most importantly, we're about, you know, changing people's lives. We want to have a positive impact on people, help them live better lives by sleeping better. We really believe that. And everything that we do is kind of built around that. So, you know, a lot of young folks who are coming in say, hey, you know, I feel great about the fact that I know that I'm making a positive impact on people's lives.
All right. We're going to leave it there for now. We've run out of time for this segment, but thanks very much to Tech 248's Irene Spanos and Martin Rawls-Meehan, CEO of Reverie, the Oakland County developer of high-tech sleep technology. And once again, that's what, reverie.com?
Yep, R-E-V-E-R-I-E.com.
Okay, cool.
And they're hiring, right?
And they are indeed hiring.
Okay.
Some tech openings. All right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast.
We have with us, once again, and hopefully better than, and it wasn't on her, it was on us, Informs Tembrichet. We had some technical issues last month.
We're trying to forget that.
Yeah, we got those solved, hopefully. And she's with Grace Montero.
Montero.
Make sure I pronounced that right. Co-founder Social Sushi.
Social Sushi. Say that three times fast.
I don't think I could.
I'd rather eat some sushi. Thank
yeah,
you.
That's right. So, Tember, why don't you interview your guest? Take it away.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me back again. I appreciate it. Grace, we're so happy that you're here, and we're going to tell your story about Social Sushi. Before we jump into that, as you all know, I'm the director of Engage, which is our entrepreneurial program at Inforum, and our strategy on that is to try and make Michigan the high-growth hub for female entrepreneurs in the Midwest. Grace is currently in our Engage Masterclass, which is a program for emerging second-stage high-growth women entrepreneurs. And she's doing some amazing stuff in the city of Detroit. So we'd like to just start off by saying welcome. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Tember. I really appreciate it. And thank you, M Squared Tech, for having me here.
Oh, you're welcome.
The show today.
Awesome. So Social Sushi.
Social Sushi.
What is your company?
So Social Sushi, we actually started the company in 2012. It started out as an idea, bringing great people together over the love of sushi. My co-founder, partner, we were actually having sushi and we were just talking about, you know, how all the great things that are happening in Detroit, all the great people we knew. But every time we went to either an event or a networking event, we found that there was certain people at that same event. So there was like different silos in Detroit. And so we wanted to create a solution where we can bring those great people together, you know, and we were having sushi. So why not sushi? Because sushi is sexy. So that's when the idea like started, 2012. And then it organically grew into something so amazing. And through then, now we're going to open our own restaurant soon. So
really? In Detroit?
In Detroit.
About where?
So we are going to be located the Livernois area, right in between 6 Mile and 7 Mile, the uptown area. So
you're kind of in striking distance of Pleasanton and Royal Oak and places like that.
Yes, yes. So we'll be there. There's a lot of revitalization and redevelopment in that area that the city is trying to target, and we're glad to be part of that revitalization.
I believe that area used to be called the Avenue of Fashion.
It is still Avenue of Fashion, more so the 7 Mile area and Livernois. But so we're going to be close to it. So we're really excited to be part of it.
When you got the University of Detroit there too.
Yes. So that's, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, and it's a great neighborhood to be in. I mean, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people, like, in that area that are excited for sushi to come. So we're really excited.
Didn't I see something, and I was reading something, that there's some soul food restaurants around there and different things and a variety of, you know, just, what was it, Jamaican restaurants, things like that? Maybe I'm thinking of a different part of the city.
I'm not sure about the Jamaican. I know soul food. I know there's 1970 Bistro. Cuzzo's Chicken and Waffles are down the street. So, and another restaurant, Slide, is planning to open this fall. So awesome businesses and restaurants opening up soon.
So tell me a little bit more about the pop-up networking event part of the business. To me, that's the interesting part. I mean, I love sushi as much as the next guy, but, you know, it's the networking that I thought was neat about this.
Okay, awesome. So when we started the idea, we started to have these networking events, bringing these people together. And we wanted – it was in the midst of the, you know, Detroit revitalization period. And we wanted to highlight different areas in Detroit. So we basically had our networking events at different areas. And then we collaborated and connected with different organizations, politicians, musicians, artists, you name it, to come to our networking events. And, you know, that's how it started. And we like to actually call ourselves, like, social catering, because we're not really, like, just the plain restaurant catering network. We want to be a place where you can come, collaborate, have conversation, and build a great network. And that's what our main mission is.
Is the sushi, as in the food, still involved then?
Yes. Well, our sushi is amazing.
You have to talk about the secret sauce.
Yes.
Secret sauce.
We have this secret sauce. It's a twist to the spicy mayo, which, you know, is amazing. So we actually having a pop-up this Wednesday at Eastern Market at Thomas McGee. So you are definitely welcome to come try our sushi and our secret sauce.
What time?
Secret sauce.
It starts at 7 to we'll be serving sushi 7 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to put in a shameless plug for Timber now. So what role did Engage from Inforum, that of course Timber runs, play in all your success here?
Well, so Timber and Inforum was, you know, just invaluable and so much, you know, support, the network. So we are in the process of actually building our own restaurant, from like having our own brick and mortar and hopefully slated to open end of summer. And Timber with an Inforum group, they have been so supportive, helping with marketing strategies and so forth, and which was so invaluable. So I definitely thank you.
See, I didn't want you to blow your own horn.
No,
there,
she's
so
amazing. She is definitely amazing.
No, I appreciate that. And Grace is in this year's cohort of Engage Masterclass. So we've only actually had 3 sessions. So there are 5 more to go. So
yes,
there's going to be a lot more learning yet this year.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So what's your background? Did you have a food service background or a corporate background? What was it?
No, actually, my background is more in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did promotions and event coordinating. So that's where it started off when we had our first event. So
are there any, anybody, probably not anybody, but do you have any Japanese sushi chefs involved in this? Or do you do it all on your own or what?
I'm not the chef personally. But no, we don't. We actually have a woman chef.
Really?
Who actually created our, you know, our menu.
Mm-hmm.
So Tanea Hudson. We also have another chef that helps us, Mary Stallworth. She's amazing too.
Because that's kind of, if you go to a traditional sushi shop, it's all guys behind the counter.
It is, and it stems from, you know, the myth of because of their fingers or hands touching the rice. So.
Mm-hmm.
I guess women are supposed to have warmer hands because we are warm. But
of course, yes.
But, you know, it's just a myth, and it's a more so a stereotype. But, you know, these amazing women have been creating our sushi, and they've been phenomenal. So,
And she has a very special role that's got some Detroit products in it.
Yes, we do. There's one, our famous roll is called the What Up Dough Roll.
I'm sorry, say that again.
What Up Dough.
Oh,
the
okay.
What Up Dough Roll.
Got it, all right.
And it actually has, you know, shrimp tempura, crab, avocado, salmon.
Mm.
But what's really special is that we have topped with Better Made hot chips.
Ah.
Yeah,
oh, geez.
And then, yes, and our rock and rye sauce and social sushi sauce on top. So it has a Detroit flavor to it.
What's in the secret sauce?
It's a secret.
Oh, okay. It's like that baked bean commercial with a dog, right?
Yeah, right. If you can get a dog to talk, that's not the story. The real story is the baked beans. Yeah, right.
Okay. So your brick-and-mortar location you're opening up was – actually, how did Motor City Match, the Detroit Initiative, actually help you make that happen?
Okay, so we actually applied for Motor City Match. We really didn't have a location, and we were looking for a spot in the Detroit area, and we found this great program called Motor City Match, and they actually were giving grants around the city to business owners and landlords and building owners, property owners, and match them up so that they can in certain areas. And we applied. Last year, we actually won. In 2016, we won the cash round. So we were really excited. And that, you know, helps us kickstart our business, you know, in a great neighborhood, the Livernois area. So.
And tell me about how is your building coming along? You're doing some special things. Your building's not a typical
No.
Our brick building.
Yes, yeah. Well, so right now they actually white boxed our building. We're working with a great architect and interior designer, Brett Kindrell. He's actually part of Lawrence Tech.
Great.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
He has
bring
great,
it again.
Oh,
okay,
bring it again.
Everybody's getting plugs in.
I lost my bell here. Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Okay, so, you know, it's just like a blank slate right now. And we've been working with him to build and design this amazing space. Just to have more of a lounge type atmosphere and networking atmosphere so people could come in and have conversations and, you know, have a community like space.
And you're not going to be that far from Lawrence Tech either,
no,
right?
No, we're not. No, not
think
not,
about
not,
that,
not
man.
That far. I mean,
sushi nearby, man.
Indeed. Nearby, indeed. Yeah.
Which is awesome. So I read a while back that you were thinking about actually doing containers as part of the build out.
Yes.
Shipping containers.
Shipping containers. That was another project that we were going to start, we were going to have, but that actually fell through because of city ordinances and, like, zoning and stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully in the future, we definitely love the shipping container idea. And, you know, we might have one because we love outdoor seating as well. So, you know, that could be our next location.
Yeah, and a bunch of our professors are actually involved in several projects involving shipping containers.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I thought there was
a hotel
by Eastern Market that was being developed with shipping containers. Did that fall through? Or
You know what? I remember that. There's other, like, apartments. I know in Corktown that there's one in Corktown. And there, I did hear about that one, but I'm not really sure. Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I lost track of it.
It could be zoning, too.
Yeah, so probably.
I don't know. There's, there's supposedly a house in Royal Oak that's made out of five of them. So, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sturdy and, you know, it's durable. So, I mean, to reuse it, it's awesome.
And, like, dirt cheap, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's you know.
Dirt cheap is good.
That's always good. Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very inexpensive, which is great. Tell me about, so, catering. Detroit Social Sushi does catering.
Yes. So we call ourselves Social Catering. We have a social catering experience. So we do catering for different organizations. We do fundraisers. We also do private sushi rolling lessons right now,
too.
Yeah, and in with our pop-ups as well. So, yeah, it's exciting. So we're going to still keep doing that when we do have our brick and mortar. But it's just, yeah, it's fun. It's been fun.
Give a quick website address because we're running out of time.
Yeah, no problem. So it's www.socialsushidetroit.com.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our program, too, at Inforum. So the Engage program, as of last month, we've put through 89 women entrepreneurs through our different programs, and they have created 38 companies brand new, in addition to there have already some bin ups that we've had also. So 288 jobs they've created in Southeast Michigan with 31 patents issued. Mm. And this was really amazing, $37.5 million in follow-on funding to date. So
that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's serious economic impact. Congratulations.
Exactly. We're very, very proud. Thank you. So, and, you know, anything, any entrepreneurs out there, women entrepreneurs who are, you know, looking to connect, we'd love to talk to you and see what we can do to help. It's www.inforummichigan.org.
All right. Thanks very much, Tim Brochet from Inforum Engage Program and Grace Montero from Social Sushi Detroit. If you go to the website, you'll see they've been all over the local media. And I, for one, am looking forward to that restaurant opening.
Yes, thank you.
All right. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we'll be right back with more of the M Squared TechCast. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with our next segment on the M Squared TechCast. We're talking right now with the godfather of...
The godfather of podcast Detroit.
All we're going to make you a podcast you can't refuse.
if only. but really. Dave Phillips is one of the co-founders, along with Bob Waltonspiel, of PodcastDetroit.com, which has grown beyond all... reasonable expectations.
Beyond mine, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it comes on tonight. Let's give him a plug. Comes out at 9 o'clock tonight, same station, as it were.
Same bat time, same bat channel, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are getting 1.8 million listens a month on all these shows, something like that?
So across the network, we're doing 3.8 million.
3.8
million. As of last month, yeah.
Wow.
Good grief.
That's good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think we're about 2 million of those, aren't we?
Where's my check?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where's mine?
I think we're sitting in it, actually.
Yeah, that's it. You get a glass of water every month, you know. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Well, you're involved in a new project in Flint, which is I guess you could describe it as a beleaguered place. It's seen its share of troubles.
Boy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it has.
Boy.
Yeah.
And so tell us about the IT Career Academy.
So Career Academy is something we started with IT and the D about 2 years ago now. We found the place that groups like New Horizons and a few other places were getting their training materials, opened up a dialogue with them, and set up a deal off our site where for $29 a year, you could get access to all of the training materials that they had. So it was like 1,400 – or actually at the time it was 1,100 classes. They were partnered with – or they still are, but at the time they were partnered with an accredited university, so you could earn an associate's degree, all for that $29 a year. Like that wasn't $29 per class. It was $29 a year, all you could eat. So, you know, we got some good traction in the Metro Detroit area with people using it. But, you know, then we knew we wanted it to grow bigger, and that was kind of outside of our scope. And two, the lingering part of that is, well, once you go through the training materials, you have to get the certs. Like, you actually have to take the test.
Yeah.
So we reached out to MEDC, you know, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You know, we've done a lot of stuff with them with shifting gears and a few other programs that they have running, and said, hey, we've got this thing. How do we make it go? You know, you guys are an engine. How do we plug in and make this happen? So we talked over the course of the next probably 12, 13 months, finally got it up and running. And obviously Flint is a place that needs a lot of help. And so what it is through state grants and funding, people can go to the Goodwill. I believe it's the Goodwill Industries of Mid-Michigan, if I recall correctly, has a facility mm-hmm. where, you know, they've got computers. They've got a training lab. People can go through the classes there if they want to. They can also do it at home. But the best part of it is that the grants and funding are also covering the certs. So, you know, we've always kind of had this concept with IT and the D called the path, where, you know, about 2-3 years ago, we started seeing more and more people that wanted to get into the IT industry. And this is what this is really geared for. You know, people that got laid off from, you know, retail jobs or want to get out of retail or want to, you know, whatever. You know, this is how you get your foot in IT, you know, get that A+, Net Plus, Security Plus cert as your starting point. Go get that first help desk job, stay there for a year, do the job, show up, and more importantly, figure out what you like. I mean, you know, being on a help desk, you're going to figure out what an IT works for you and what doesn't. And so that'll tell you what those next certs are that you should be going after. And, do you want to be a developer? Do you want to be a network admin? Do you want to be, you know, so I mean, it's kind of a cool thing.
So how long are these courses?
It's self-paced. So, I mean, it's, you know, I went through and tried a bunch of them out just to check it out and see how it went. I mean, there are some, like, I mean, if you know the stuff already, you can burn through it in, you know, a couple days. Huh. But if it takes you a couple months to do it, it takes you a couple months to do it. It is what it is. I mean, the whole point is, you know, it's self-paced, you know, learning. But what we are doing is we're going to start running a series of events out there to try and get we've got a lot of great people in our group. So folks that are, like, for example, somebody that wants to go through the Security Plus track, we've got, you know, some CISSPs and some security engineers that are going to go out and do some meetups, you know, and just, you know, hey, you know, just an open Q&A, you know, what do you want to know more about, that sort of thing. Where are you getting stuck? So, I mean, it's kind of cool.
So who develops the curricula for this?
Career Academy. So okay. It's careeracademy.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the force behind the scenes with all of it. They always have been. And they just wanted, well, I mean, they're happy. They're still getting paid. You know, it's just being covered by grants now.
Mm-hmm.
And is it for beginners? Because someone that has absolutely no background?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, your A plus, Net plus, Security plus certs are basically, I mean, they're really the basics. It's, this is a computer. This is hardware. This is what it does.
I think I got that part covered.
Here's a mouse. Here's a key. You know, it's you know, your basics and fundamentals. You know, your net plus is your networking. You know, what is TCP/IP? What is the internet? How does – what's HTTP versus HTTPS and what does that mean? That sort of thing. And then you've got your security plus, which is, you know, let's talk about passwords and encryption and VPNs and SSL. And I mean, it really is that foundation – that gets you to, okay, now I'm in IT, what's next?
So I would also ask, is it first Flint and then the world? Or
yeah.
What's
no,
next
absolutely.
For you guys? You know?
So, I mean, we already have we already have a couple of different places down in Detroit that have reached out, and we're trying to figure out the details with them as far as getting them on board as a partner and running. We've got I believe it's Port Huron, Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Ann Arbor, where we've had people reach out as well. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, you know, story of my life, number of hours in day divided by number of projects that people
you don't
want
need no stinking
on.
Sleep.
Buy a referee thing. That's the way that mattress sounded, you could get by with like 15 minutes a night.
15 minutes and you're refreshed. And
Red Bull and adrenaline. That's all I – that's how I operate at this point.
And the occasional cigarette. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, okay. That's right.
So
it's all the eens, caffeine, nicotine. But yeah.
So I think a lot of people have a misconception, what I think is a misconception, that you have to be some kind of super genius to get into this field in the first place.
No, there
place,
is no
right?
need to be Wile E. Coyote.
All right.
Super genius. No, there's no need. You know, honestly, I mean, so, you know, I grew up with a keyboard in my hand. You know, my parents were R&D folks, you know, back you know, for Wang, you know,
oh,
if
yeah,
you remember that
Wang.
Name.
Oh, yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
lived
sure,
in New
yeah.
England. So, I mean, I grew up with an ARPANET connection in the house, and but literally, I mean, everything I know about
so
IT.
So you were in the defense industry then, so.
There was some fun.
Would you like to play a game?
That's right. Shall we play a game? No, but so my parents were involved with Tempest Engineering, which is, you know, secure systems and that sort of stuff and secure rooms. But I mean, so, you know, they had a connection in the house. But I mean, you know, so my degrees, you know, I'm biochem and theater arts. You know, I never wanted to be a geek. It wasn't my thing.
Theater arts. How does that mean? That seems like diametrically opposed.
I wanted to cure cancer. Two, I love being the center of attention. And so, then three, I played hockey. So, you know, I shattered my kneecap my junior year. There went that dream. Then I found out what theater teachers made. There went that dream. And then the only offers I had in the biochem world were from government labs. And I was like, you know, Ebola's good enough without my help. I'm going to fall back on being a geek.
Now you're making the big bucks with Podcast Detroit.
Right. Yeah, that's how it's all flowing.
Living the dream, baby.
Living the dream.
It's, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, everything we do, whether it's with IT and the D or Podcast Detroit, I mean, Podcast Detroit is a prime example of the IT and the D thing. We don't push into stuff. We get pulled. You know, when we built the studio out in Ferndale, it was going to be our own little private man cave. Until enough people started knocking on the door and said, guys, you have this great studio for 2 weeks, you know, for that you're using for 2 hours a night. Stop being jerks. Open the door. We want to do a podcast.
I like the other location even better, though, the Batman Cave. Over
oh, down at the Russell?
Yeah, that was a
other than smelling like a Cheech and Chong set, it was phenomenal.
I never got to see that.
You never saw that?
No, I never saw that. I feel like I really missed out.
But yeah, so then here, and then we moved to here because of all the additional shows that joined on, and away we go.
So the IT Career Academy, though, to inject a moment of seriousness in this.
Well, a moment, though.
Just a moment. Yeah, but, I mean, there are some fairly scary numbers out there about developer shortages and talent shortages in the IT field, right?
Well, that's scary if you're an employer.
This is important stuff.
Oh, no, it's scary if you're an employer. Yeah. It's wonderful if you're – like if you're in the IT field right now and you don't have a job, it's because you don't want one.
Yeah.
It's that simple, you know. So you mean look at certain spaces, especially in the security realm, there is a negative unemployment number because, I mean, there are people that have, you know, 2 and 3 jobs at this point, you know, because of the shortages that are out there.
So, kids, I'm telling you right now, I know you think you could be a rapper or an NBA star, but be one of these.
Yeah, exactly. If you're currently,
please,
if
you
you're
can actually do this.
Yeah, if you're currently majoring in ancient Chinese philosophies, it's a good time to pick up some code.
Yeah. pick up some code, do the philosophy as a hobby. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it is. I mean, it's a great time. And I want to stress the nice thing about, because there are so many different groups out there. There are so many different, like, little, and we love them all the little grassroots organizations, like whether it's Girl Develop It or Grand Circus or
the Girardi Girls.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that are out there teaching you how to code.
Girls Who Code. Yeah.
We see all of those people that come to our events, though, and say, hey, I went through this little boot camp, now what? And the problem is they come out of those little boot camps with a piece of paper that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
So these are the Career Academy is CompTIA certs. So these are the certs that all the employers are actually looking for, they want, and will actually walk you into a job. And I guess that's the other part to keep in mind is, so because of us with the networking, we've already got the companies on the hook that are looking to hire the people coming out of this program.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're done, it's not a now what, it's a, okay, which one?
Yeah.
So for the typical person, though, we're talking a couple of months maybe?
If that. I mean, so basically what we've seen so far is it'll probably take somebody, if they're serious about it and they do it for at least a couple hours a day, about 4 to 5 weeks to mm-hmm. burn through those three. And then they should be ready. And that's, you know, assuming somebody
has – and then you can get a job out
yep.
of that, really.
And that's assuming somebody has a job, has a life, and is doing, like I said, for a couple hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
let's be real. If you're not willing to throw a couple hours a day at something that will quite literally change your life – I mean, the example we always use is Bob's brother-in-law, Chet. He was painting floors 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Came to us and said, how do I get out of this? How do I get into IT? We walked him exactly through these steps. He's now making $70,000 a year 3 years later in the data center for a large financial institution here in the area. It works.
Does he paint floors at night, though?
Nope.
Oh.
Not unless his wife makes them.
He's the guy hiring the floor painters.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very real thing. And, I mean, this really is – I mean, if you can't find that couple hours to commit to something that's truly life-changing, then maybe this isn't for you. But we hope it is.
Well, right. We need to get a website address here now.
So it's obviously, if you go to itandthed.com, we have our Learn tab, and everything is right underneath there. Or you can just go straight to itandthed.com/Career Academy, and everything is there.
Okay.
All right. Dave Phillips, thanks very much from IT and the D. Once again, IT and the D airs every Monday at 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, and it's a laugh riot.
And if anybody's listening, tonight we have Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science
Ooh.
And Amy Jo Johnson from the Power Rangers.
Ooh.
A veritable geek fest.
Their nerd force is strong.
Oh, boy. Nerds are going to be tuning in on that one, huh?
Now, and you don't have a camera in here yet.
Oh,
you know?
I know. We got to get that.
Yeah,
we've been talking about the Jessica cam.
We need a Jessica.
The Jessica. I keep getting shot down on the Jessica.
By Jessica.
By Jess.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thanks very much, David Phillips. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Howdy, it's Matt Rausch.
That was loud. Yes.
blew your ears out.
Blew my earbuds off there. Okay. And this is Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, where we're having entirely too much fun today.
Oh, God.
And speaking of fun, this is going to be a fun
segment. We didn't have any
segment.
Beer, but now we're going to have wine. That's our segue here.
That's right.
So. All right, I'm going to try to make sure I pronounce these names correctly, and if I don't, let me know.
Well, which we always do,
oh,
right?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Pat Mulrennan? Is that right? Mulrennan?
Mulrennan, yes.
Okay. And co-founder of Fieldstone Winery. And then we have Christy Nichols Shopbell, co-founder of Three North Vines. Did I get that right?
Yep, that's right.
All right, good. This came from Michelle Hirschfield, who's, I know, listening in right now. So I wanted to make sure I got that right. So anyway, you're going to be talking about what's happening with, and I was not aware of this event until Michelle brought it to me, called the Thumbs Up Wine Trail. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's the Thumbs Up Wine Trail is a group of 12 wineries that got together to form the wine trail on the east side of the state here, which we're really excited about. And we're all unique wineries, some urban, some rural, some on vineyards. And the neat thing about it is people can really have a very different experience depending on where they go for the day, kind of crossing back and forth into both spaces. But what really makes us excited is that this group of winery owners has a strong will to do outreach for charities in our community and be part of our community. So that's where we came up with this event that we're having this year. It's called Let's Get Naughty. It's a wine tasting event, and we're holding it in Port Huron.
And that's in a couple of weeks. I think it's May 21st, right?
That's correct. Yeah, May 21st.
Okay.
From 1 to 5.
So how long have both of you, this is a question for both of you, how long have your wineries been around? I mean, people have certainly been acquainted with wineries in the Traverse City area. You know, the Leelanau Peninsula, I think, is an appellation now, and, you know, the old Mission Peninsula, and then there's some in southwest Michigan that have been around forever, too. But I hadn't really heard about that many wineries in the Thumb, so I was just curious when these wineries were established.
Well, I can tell you, my winery's been around for 14 years.
Wow.
We're an urban winery. We started off as a make-your-own wine place, and we established ourselves. So now that we are actually recognized by the Grape Council, so that we make most of our product is from Michigan fruits. But I would say most of our wineries have been around 10 years or less.
Hmm. Now, where is what city is Fieldstone Winery near? If you're not in a city, but how would we find it?
We're an urban winery. We're located in Rochester, Michigan.
Okay.
Our tasting is downtown Main Street.
Oh.
Our actual production facility is in a little industrial area in Rochester.
Okay, and then Three North Vines. That's more in the Thumb area, right?
Yeah. So you got perfect example with Pat and I here. I am very rural. And the winery is right in the vineyard, so with a very different experience when you come up here, which is kind of fun. You get to experience all these different kinds of wineries.
Wow! Now I used to live in California and lived in the San Francisco area. So I used to when I was married, my wife and I would do a lot of these wine tours where they're fairly closely grouped together, and you could drive and hit three or four or five of them. Is that a possibility with what you guys are doing?
Well, just thinking that we happen to have somebody do that this weekend. Geographically, we are not located extremely close, probably from actual mileage place, you're probably located close, but because of traffic in the city, we have, you know, it's a little farther away. But we had a group come in this week that did they rented a limo, and they did six wineries on a Saturday afternoon. So it's possible. I don't think you can do all 12 of them at one day, but.
Yeah, that might be a little rough. You can, but you will pass out after 7.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, good call on the limo there, definitely. I'm looking at your website right now, and I see the locations of some of these. Some of them are fairly close together. Like you've got, you know, Clinton Township, Harrison Township, Washington Township, Romeo. I mean, that'd be doable.
Yeah.
You know, those are close together. And then Crosswell
it's
and Lexington.
Doable, but you got to bake in traffic.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it depends what time of day and what day of the week. But then you've got, you know, Crosswell, Lexington, you know, those two towns I know are right next to each other. So, I mean.
Yeah, that you can actually ride a bike from my winery in Crosswell to the one in Lexington. There's a bike path, and it's been done a couple of times. So,
that's nice.
Definitely not too far apart.
That'd be an interesting ride after a few glasses of wine. I think it's kind of fun there, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the kind of wines both of your wineries specialize in. I mean, some people are really good at some things, and so they emphasize that. So what's your specialty?
Thanks, Pat. Up here at Three North Vines, we have a couple of niche things that we wanted to go after since we've only been around. We opened in 2014. We put our grapes in 8, 9, and 10, and we kind of were watching the market really closely because we love the Michigan wine industry. So we're looking for a few little things that were something different. And a couple of things, El Barino is a Spanish white grape that's on the rise. So we put that on in as kind of one of our niche varieties. It's a white wine with a high acidity. It's got some pineapple and pear notes, and it's got a really nice minerality to it. And then the other one that we picked kind of as something different would be Pinotage, which is a South African red, and it's a cross in between Hermitage and Pinot Noir. So, you know, a light to medium-bodied red wine can be oaked or unoaked, usually done dry. It's kind of some of our things. I know up in this area there's also some Gruner Veltliners and a couple other specialty varieties that we're doing here.
Okay, and Pat, what are some of the specialties you have?
Well, we started off as make your own wine, so we used to bring in juices and make wine for people. But now we import grapes from Michigan, California, Washington, and all our fruits come from Michigan. So we specialize, going back to my Italian heritage, is how I started making wine with my uncles. So we have a winemaker's blend where we do it sort of the old traditional way that I was taught. And then now we're into ciders. We do a lot of, that's what put us on the map as far as the Michigan winery. We produce ciders and we produce Michigan wines. But our specialty is red wines where we blend with California and Michigan grapes.
Ah. You know, you get a lot, I imagine it's seasonal. In the summertime, springtime, you get a lot more people visiting your wineries than over the winter or not?
Well, I'll let you go first this time.
Yeah. From my perspective, it all depends on the weather. You know, if the weather is cold outside all during the holiday, or during the wintertime, we'll get busy because people want to get out of the house.
Yeah,
it's this year it's been up and down. So
yeah, because
you're a little bit slower.
Right, because you're in Rochester, right?
It's all depending on the weather. Usually we're busy in January, February, and March.
Oh, really?
And we're busy in the summer and in the fall. Hmm. Our slowest period of time is usually April, May.
Hmm. Okay. And Chrissy?
Well, we're kind of, again, you got two good viewpoints here. We're usually slowing down about the end of September, October. It's hard to get people to, you know, want to make the drive when it's cold and chilly up this way. Or a lot of people who have cottages are kind of shutting down. So by December, we're pretty much shut down up here. So we're a seasonal business. And we just opened last weekend. So we had a good crowd coming back out, even though it was cold. So, yeah, weather does affect us as well. When it was nice in February and it was like 60 degrees out, we had people calling, are you open?
Yeah.
So again, if people want to be out and about on a nice day, usually for us, is when we get busy.
Yeah, I like that idea of getting that bicycle and pedaling between the wineries. You know, I'd have to give that one a shot. So wear a helmet, though.
Yeah, just, you got to start at ours and ride down to the other one because we're uphill and they're downhill.
Start
definitely.
Start
there and then, I don't know, but...
Yes.
Some strategy there.
After a few glasses, it's uphill both ways.
It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm looking forward to trying it because my wife and I will go up there every so often. I'm looking forward to trying the Albarino and the Pinotage that you mentioned. Those both look really good.
So also,
yeah, they're kind of exciting.
Yeah.
We should probably talk a little bit more about your event coming up on May 21st, because we're trying to help you promote that. I must give you a disclaimer that MI Tech News and M Squared TechCast are media sponsors of your event. So why don't you share a little bit more information about what's going to be going on?
Well, we have, again, those 12 groups or entrepreneurs, all of our wineries are, you know, individually owned, coming together. We've been doing this for, this is our third year now, where every winery is on hand to pour about 8 of their wines. We have food and music that's included in your ticket price, and then it's a charity fundraiser. So the Thumbs Up Wine Trail is a nonprofit association. We get local charities to come in and work with us on it and be volunteers, and then they get to share in our spoils, if you will. So it's kind of a nice little event, a win-win-win. Fun, and you're doing good for your community at the same time.
And I believe the ticket price was $35?
Oh, that's reasonable.
Yeah, so especially we have our early bird special, which we're kind of closing in on, was the $35 point, but we're doing a deal for my tech listeners. The first 50 people get that $35 ticket, which it does include 12 samples.
All your food is included in that. And then we have live music going on. And then we have vendors and other things which aren't included in your ticket price. There's less things to do while you're there. But I can't hardly go out to dinner for $35 anymore.
So yeah.
With a couple of drinks.
Not to mention 12 glasses of wine.
Very affordable.
I know Jessica's ears perked up when we said 12 glasses of wine.
Sure did. For $35, yes.
Well, 12
plus food.
They're samples, but that's still.
Not 12 glasses.
Oh, okay.
So what's the location for this event?
It is at the Seaway Terminal in Port Huron, Michigan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And it's indoor-outdoor, if weather permitting, because there's a nice patio there. So it should be really, we're hoping for a nice day.
And then since this is your third year, the past 2 years, how many folks have you drawn? Has it been increasing, or what sort of numbers we're looking at?
I can see that. It's increased. We've done the first two events. We're down in the Packer Proving Grounds in Shelby, and we went, first year we did about 600 people. Last year we had about 1,200 people.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what we're going to have this year. I think we'll have a good crowd. The value is excellent. You get great wines and the food. We always have great food. And, you know, now we have a lot of food vendors from that area. So we're really excited about it. So you get plenty to eat.
Sounds like a good time indeed.
It will be. It's a great event. It's all done because we have great leadership. Christy does a great job, and we have a great administrator, Denise Bell, who does a great, great work for our organization. So I just commend those people for the work they do.
Well, don't let Pat fool you. He's been heading it up the last 2 years as well. So we're very lucky to have a team of wonderful people together on this.
And then who are some of the charities that you work with?
We have
the Gentle Lions this year. We have the Sandusky Kiwanis. We have the Blue Water Folk Society. And oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the last one.
We have the Rising Star Academy, which has been our main the last few years, which is a group that deals with disabled adults and co-owners with disabled adults.
Hopefully somebody didn't just fall down there. I wasn't sure. okay, cool. And again, let's give her. Go ahead.
Oh, maybe we lost Christy.
Christy.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I thought somebody fell there. Just
dropped the phone or something.
Or something, yeah. Right. And ads are on my website already. You can click on those ads, and it'll take you to the Eventbrite page where you can sign up and pay your fees.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And I'm also seeing a link to it on the Thumbs Up Wine Trail website, which is thumbsupmi.com. So this
and if
this
you go through the thumbsupmi.com and you're listening to this right now, the promo code is MyTech, all capitals, _wines.
Okay, write that down, man. I know you're going to want to take the wife up there,
I'm
right?
I'm writing it right down right now.
Okay, MyTech Wines, writing that down. Okay. all right. So go ahead and take us out, man.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of our guests here today. We want to thank Pat Mulranian of Fieldstone Winery, Christy Nichols Shopbell of Three North Vines and the Thumbs Up Wine Trail, IT and the D's David Phillips and his great idea for an IT career academy, Ian Forum's Timber Shea of the Engage program and Engage client Grace Montero, who is in the current Master Entrepreneur class, co-founder of a business with the fascinating name of Social Sushi, which I will not even attempt to say three times.
No.
And first of all, kicking off the show was Tech 248's Irene Spanis interviewing Martin Rawls Meehan, CEO of Reverie, an Oakland County developer of high-tech sleep technology. What a great show. And as usual, the hour just flew.
Yeah, and so varied.
Yes. Well, that's what we do here. Yes. We talk about news, politics, and technology from a Michigan perspective. And we've had a lot of fun talking about wine for the last little while. So we'll hope to see you on May 21st up in Port Huron.
Yeah, and of course, we want to thank our engineer, Jessica. Always does a fabulous job.
Yes, the intrepid Jessica, but she won't let us put in the Jessica cam.
We're going to put in the Jessica cam soon, whether she likes it or not.
All right. Until next week, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.